This morning is Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the text that we consider this morning is verse 1. My intention is to preach through Psalm 23 whenever we have a baptism. We have one coming up in the near future and a few more that we know about. So whenever we have a baptism, I'm going to preach another verse in Psalm 23. So this morning we start with verse 1. We're going to read Psalm 23 and then read a portion of John 10 after that. But first, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's turn now to John chapter 10. And we'll read the first 18 verses of John 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. We'll read that passage that far. The text, as I said, is verse 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a relationship between Psalm 23 and our children that makes preaching through Psalm 23 for baptism appropriate. The first relationship is very simply the fact that our children know very well the words of Psalm 23. I was tempted to say, let's close our Bibles and simply recite together the words of Psalm 23. We could have done that. All of us as adults and with our children could have sat here this morning and together said the words of Psalm 23. When it comes to teaching our children the words of Scripture, one of the first passages that we teach them, if not the first passage, is Psalm 23. That makes Psalm 23 a special psalm. It's near and dear to our hearts, not only as adults, but to the hearts of our children as well, because they know the words of this psalm. And that means that we have a responsibility as parents, a responsibility not simply to teach them the words of Psalm 23, which we do, but also to teach them the meaning of Psalm 23, so that when they learn these well-known words, we can give substance to what this psalm means and how it applies to them as children. And to that end, it's appropriate to use Psalm 23 at the occasion of baptism. So let's keep that in the back of our minds as we go through this psalm, remembering that we can pull from these sermons applications that we can use in teaching our children. The second relationship between Psalm 23 and our children is the wonderful truth that not only is the Lord the shepherd to us as adults, but the promise of God is that He is the shepherd to our children as well. And that's a beautiful word of comfort to hear at the occasion of baptism. When parents bring their children to be baptized, they can know with confidence, have no reason to doubt, that what we read in Psalm 23 about God and Jesus Christ as our shepherd is true for our children. That's not just Psalm 23, but that's other passages in Scripture as well. One of the most beautiful ones is Isaiah 40, verse 11. Where we read this about God: He, that is God, shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arms and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. The word of the Scriptures tells us that God is a shepherd to our children. He takes our children, the lambs of the church, and He carries them in His arms, close to His bosom. That's a beautiful word to hear at the occasion of baptism. But apart from those two reasons, very simply, it's good to hear sermons on Psalm 23. We love Psalm 23. No matter how many times we have read Psalm 23, no matter how many sermons we have heard preached on Psalm 23, it's always good to hear this gospel preached to us. What a comfort Psalm 23 is to all of us. It doesn't matter what we're going through. If we're mourning the loss of loved ones, as some of us are this morning, what a word it is to hear that the Lord is our shepherd, to know that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If we're struggling with sickness, if we're struggling with the distresses of the mind and of the soul, when we experience in a very real way the fact that we are going through the valley of the shadow of death, what a comfort it is to hear that we have no reason to fear. Really, Psalm 23 speaks to every aspect of our life, whether we're going through difficulties, whether we're battling sin, whether we're mourning the loss of loved ones. Psalm 23 is a wonderful word of comfort to us. And so apart from the fact that it's appropriate for baptism, it's good to hear sermons on Psalm 23. We begin that this morning looking at this first verse, Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's look at this under the theme, my covenant shepherd. Noticing in the first place His identity, in the second place His flock, and then last, His work, His identity, flock, and work. My covenant shepherd. As we all know, Psalm 23 was written by David. That's the heading right underneath Psalm 23, a psalm of David. We don't know exactly when it was that David wrote Psalm 23, but there's good reason to believe that David wrote this psalm towards the end of his life. When you compare what we have in Psalm 23 with what we know of in David's life, it seems to be the case that he wrote this at the very end of his life. David looks back on his life, he reflects on everything that he went through, and he does that in light of his relationship with God, and under the Spirit's inspiration, he's led to say these words, "The Lord is my shepherd." If you think about it, David went through everything, all of which in some way comes up in Psalm 23. He himself was a lowly shepherd. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He was an impenitent sinner. He was a restored sinner. He was attacked and pursued, but he was also the attacker, the pursuer, and the conquering king. David, at the end of his life, could reflect on everything he went through. And he is led by the Spirit when he looks at his relationship to God and says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David was uniquely qualified to write Psalm 23. He was so because he himself, at the beginning of his life, was a shepherd. That's one of the neat things about the inspiration of Scripture. Scripture arose out of the experiences of the human writers that God used to pen the words of Scripture. In other words, it wasn't Jeremiah, it wasn't Ezekiel, it wasn't Paul, it wasn't Jude that wrote Psalm 23. It was David. That doesn't take away from the fact that it's God's Word, that it's completely inspired by God, but it shows us the manner in which Scripture was inspired. It arose out of the experiences of David's life. He knew what it meant to be a shepherd, to care for sheep. And so when he reflected on his life, he understood how God was his shepherd and how he himself was a sheep. Fundamentally, Psalm 23 is a confession concerning who God is. It's a confession concerning what God does. And it's only when you consider who God is and what God does that we find comfort in this life. It's very important to note the fact that David starts with God. And by starting with God, he receives the comfort in his life. I'm not saying that we don't look at ourselves. We do look at ourselves. It's called self-examination. But we don't look at ourselves apart from first understanding who God is and what God does. There's a huge difference between starting with God and starting with us and the comfort that we have from that. Think about who we are and what it would be like if we just looked at ourselves. To use the analogy of Psalm 23, we're wandering, stubborn, wayward, helpless, defenseless sheep. We're all over the place in our lives on this earth. At times we're on the mountaintops of faith, at other times we're not. Sometimes we're struggling with a particular sin, at other times we're not. Going through these difficulties at some times, and other times we're not. We're all over the place. And so if we looked at ourselves and where we are at in order to derive comfort, we can't. But what David does is he goes straight to God and he says, "This is who my God is. This is what my God does. And because I know those truths, which are in fact truth, I derive comfort in this life. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. This I know about my God. He is my shepherd, and therefore I shall not want." Who is his shepherd? We can learn some things from this first verse about who our shepherd is. Our shepherd is the Lord, verse 1 says. The Lord, in all capital letters, that's Jehovah. And because He uses the name Jehovah in Psalm 23, verse 1, that points us right away to the truth of the covenant. That's why I used in the theme, my covenant shepherd. The covenant is all about relationship. It's all about God's relationship to us. And it's not simply the fact that it's a relationship, but it's what kind of relationship it is. It's a relationship of love, of friendship, a relationship in which God cares for us in all of our needs. And that's why Psalm 23 is a covenant psalm. Because when you look at that relationship between God and His people, to look at that in terms of a shepherd and his sheep illustrates so clearly what this covenant relationship is all about. Because when you look at it in terms of God as our shepherd and we as sheep, we see that it's a relationship of love. We see that it's a relationship in which God, as God, does everything for us. He cares for us. He defends us. And in the end, we see that He saves us. He's the Lord, but we're very eager this morning to see that our shepherd is not simply the triune God, but our shepherd is the triune God as He is revealed to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to read Psalm 23 in light of what we have in the New Testament. Psalm 23 is prophetic of what we read of in John chapter 10. Jesus Christ said those very well-known words, "I am the good shepherd." Everything that we read of in Psalm 23 is true exactly because Christ is our shepherd. Christ is the one who cares for us. Christ is the one who defends us. Christ ultimately is the one, as the good shepherd, who laid down His life for us. Our shepherd is the triune God, Jehovah, as He is revealed to us and as He cares for us and as He saves us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The relationship in the text is that of a shepherd and his sheep. That's obviously what a shepherd is. A shepherd is one who has the responsibility to care for a flock, to care for sheep. Because He is our shepherd, we can know some things about who He is. He's our shepherd, and that means in the first place that our God and our Savior is loving. That's what a shepherd must be. In order to care for His sheep, He has to love His sheep. He has to love His sheep in this sense. He has to desire to do what is best for His sheep. That's what love really is. It's an affection for someone else that shows itself in doing what is best for them. A shepherd has to love his sheep so that a shepherd is determined and everything he does for the sheep, to do what's best for them, to feed them, to defend them, and to care for them. Jehovah is our shepherd, and that means, people of God, that He loves us. He loves us so much that He is willing and able, as God, to do what is very best for us. And ultimately, that love shows itself in sending Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, as the Good Shepherd, shows that love in doing what is almost unthinkable. He bore the very wrath of God on Calvary's cross. He laid down His life for His sheep. Our shepherd is one who loves us as His sheep. And because He loves us, He will do everything for us, everything that is for our good, which ultimately means for our salvation. Everything we read in Psalm 23 making us to lie down in pastures, leading us beside still waters, restoring our souls, keeping us through the valley of the shadow of death, preparing a table, and dwelling with us in the house of the Lord forever. All of that flows out of and is motivated by God's love for us. That in the first place, loving. In the second place, the fact that He is our shepherd means that He knows us. He's all-knowing. That's what makes a shepherd a good shepherd. He knows his sheep. He knows which sheep are prone to wander away from the flock. He knows the food that the sheep needs. He knows the predators of the sheep so that He can defend them. A good shepherd knows his sheep. Jehovah knows us. And as God, He knows us perfectly. He knows us completely. He knows everything we need. He knows the troubles that we're going through. He knows the sins that we're dealing with. He knows the word that we need to hear at this particular time in our lives. Because He knows us, He can care for us. And He does, in fact, care for us. To illustrate that, it's just the opposite of what's true with these babies that were baptized this morning. Every parent, especially a mother, knows that it's all about knowledge. Caring for their children is all about knowing them. When you don't know what's going on, as is sometimes the case with infants, it's hard to care for them. The baby's crying in the middle of the night. Is he hungry? Is he tired? Is he sick? Is he cold? I don't know. I can't help him because I don't know what he needs. And so you try this, you try that, until you finally, through that, understand what they know. Knowledge is what enables one to care for another. Jehovah, our shepherd, knows us, and therefore, He cares for us. That's who our shepherd is. We could go on at length with attributes concerning a shepherd, but those two to start with from this first verse. He's loving and He's all-knowing. The triune God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So far our focus has been on the shepherd. Now let's turn our attention to the flock. Every shepherd has a particular flock. And we can do that based on this first verse from a couple of things. From the fact that in the first place it says Lord. And that drives us right away to the truth of the covenant. And anytime you talk about the truth of the covenant, you're talking about God and you're talking about a particular people. A flock. Jehovah's flock. And also we can say this based on the fact that this is the confession of a particular man. This is David's words. The Lord is my shepherd. It points to the fact that this is a member of God's flock. Who is the flock of Jehovah? There's a couple very good resources on Psalm 23, one of which many of you probably have in your own library or have read. The title of the book is A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, written by Keller. He himself, the author, was a shepherd at one time. And so, in light of his own experiences, he wrote on Psalm 23. I always had it in my library, but I had never read it until preparing for this sermon. And it's interesting. You learn some things about being a shepherd, and about caring for a flock. And especially in this regard, I'll get to one of the things that I learned from that book about who a flock is, who or what or how a flock becomes a particular shepherd's. In the first place, they have to purchase the sheep, obviously. That's simple. It's simple when it comes to flocks on this earth, a man with sheep, but it's profound when you're talking about Jehovah God and His flock. A price needs to be paid in order to make sheep one's own. And we all know what the price was, the purchase price, to make God's flock His own. The flock of God took the price of Jesus' blood. Through that purchased price, Jehovah God makes His flock His own. All men obviously are not part of God's flock. His own people are, those for whom Jesus Christ laid down His life. But what was interesting that I read was the fact that after a shepherd has his flock, he had to do something to those sheep to make them their own, to indicate to all of the other shepherds and to all of the other people, these sheep are mine. That's necessary if you're a shepherd, because you're not the only shepherd in the world and you're not the only person with sheep. There's all kinds of sheep. And if one sheep gets lost, how do you know when you find that sheep that that sheep is mine? And so what this author said in that book was, they did this. They took a knife and they went to the ear of that sheep. Very painful process for both the shepherd and the sheep. But they cut into that ear of the sheep a particular symbol, the mark of that shepherd, so that everyone would know this shepherd has this sheep. I don't know if they did that in the time of David, but they must have done something along those lines. Something to mark this sheep as mine. It's striking when you think about what we witnessed this morning. What's baptism? These children here received a mark. They received the sign of God placed upon them that said, these infants are mine. This sign of baptism, this mark of baptism is what took these infants and separated them from all of the other children of the world, so that all of the other people in the world know that these children belong to God. These children are Jehovah's. That's something very important to understand as parents. We talk about having my children. These are our children, a mother and a father say. And that's so true because God gives them to us. But in the end, don't ever forget that these children are God's children. Remember that passage that we read in Isaiah 40 at the very beginning. God loves the lambs of the church. They're His. He carries them in His arms and holds them in His bosom. And we need to know that as parents, because we know who we are as sheep. We know that we are wandering. We know that we are helpless. And we know that if it were up to us, completely up to us, to make sure that our children are faithful sheep, that they stay with the shepherd, we know that our sheep would be lost. This is the word to us as parents this morning, to these parents that had a child baptized this morning. These children, these lambs of the church, with the mark of baptism upon them, are God's lambs, God's sheep, and therefore will be cared for and loved by God the Father. We're so thankful for that truth as parents because we know who we are as sinners. Just as being a shepherd teaches us the truth that God is loving, that God is all-knowing, when we see ourselves as sheep, we learn certain truths about who we are. In the first place, we're helpless. The fundamental characteristic of a sheep is that it is helpless. In and of itself, it can't do anything. It's helpless to defend himself from the enemies. It's helpless to care for itself. In order for that sheep to thrive and to survive, it needs someone else. And that's who we are by nature. We all know that. Helpless to defend ourselves from the enemies. We can't do it. We know because of our old man that if it were up to us, we would be utterly consumed by the enemies. Helpless to maintain a strong spiritual life. We can't do that on our own. We need God's Word. Helpless in the end with the most important thing in our lives, which is our salvation. We can't save ourselves. We're just like these infants. Another good illustration. They're helpless. They can't do anything by themselves. They need their mothers and their fathers hour after hour after hour, day after day after day, to care for them, to feed them, to protect them. And that's who we are as sheep. And that's why hearing the words of Psalm 23 is such a comfort to us. Understanding who we are as sheep, helpless sheep. We know that the Lord, the loving, all-knowing God, is our shepherd. Not only are we helpless, that's rather neutral, but it's worse than that. We're wandering. That's what a sheep does. Never wants to stay around his shepherd. Never wants to stay in just the pasture that the shepherd has for him, but always wants to go away, wander away from the flock and from the shepherd. Isaiah 53, we know those words very well. 53 verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone in his own way. That's who we are because of our sin. We're wandering sheep, always going away from the shepherd. And then on top of that, we're stubborn. We don't want to listen. We're so ingrained in what we want to do in our sin. When we see ourselves as sheep, we understand the great truth that in and of ourselves we would be lost, in and of ourselves we would die. But because we have the Lord, we are cared for. And that leads us to the last point of the sermon this morning, which teaches us about the work of the shepherd. And that's the second half of the text. There's a relationship between the first half of the text and the second half, and a relationship between verse 1 and the rest of the psalm. The relationship between the first half of the verse and the second half is that on the basis of the fact that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It should be read this way, really. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. Or, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But there's also a relationship between this phrase, I shall not want, and the entire psalm. The third point of this sermon is brief because really, verses 2 through 6 is an explanation of this second half of verse 1. I shall not want. I have nothing lacking. And this is why. Because He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Because He restores my soul. Because I walk through the valley of the shadow of death and I don't fear. Because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The entire psalm is an explanation of why David could say, I shall not want. But what does that mean, I shall not want? Very simply, it means that David did not lack anything. If you are a sheep in God's flock, that means that you have nothing lacking. There's nothing that you need that you don't have. It doesn't matter what you are going through. You have what you need because the Lord is your shepherd. We may not always understand that. We may not always think that that's the case. We may not always think that we have everything. But remember who He is. He's the loving shepherd. Which means it doesn't matter what you're going through, what He does for you is for your good, and He's the all-knowing shepherd, which means He knows exactly what you need. Think about the experiences of your life as some of us are this morning, mourning the loss of a loved one, a mother, an aunt. The Lord knows what you need. You have no want, because He will comfort your heart and your soul from the Scriptures. You're struggling with sin. The Lord is your shepherd. He knows what you need. It's right here in the Scriptures. He gives you what you need to give you the comfort of knowing that your sins are forgiven. Struggling with the sickness of the body, day after day, pain, more pain, and more pain. The Lord is your shepherd. He knows what you need. He's loving you. He's caring for you. The comfort of Psalm 23 is that it doesn't matter what we are going through. I have no want, because my shepherd is the all-knowing and the loving Jehovah God in Jesus Christ. Say that with David this morning. This is David's personal confession. The human writer, under the Spirit's inspiration, is David. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Those are the personal pronouns used throughout. I, me, my. That's David. But not really. That's you. And that's me. This morning, people of God, take on your lips the words of Psalm 23, verse 1. Say in your heart, "The Lord is my shepherd." And receive the great comfort of knowing, because that is the case, I shall not want. What a truth that is. What a God we have. Thankful that He is the God not only to us as adults, but these children as well. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we're thankful for who Thou art as our God, as our Father, as our Shepherd. We're thankful that although we are as wandering, stubborn, helpless sheep, Thou as our Father and God and Shepherd dost care for us and love us. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt give us the comfort of Thy Word this morning from this passage, and forgive what was said or what was heard in sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.